Thank you for joining us at the Sit the Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. How is everybody doing today? Very well. Okay. Let's go into the Word very quickly. Very, very quickly. As a result of the message I preached last week, we started on deeper in redemption, and we touched on one aspect of redemption, which is redemption from the curse. And we started delving into some of those curses of the law. As a result of it, a couple of people met with me, called me, or talked to me about some situations in their lives, families, and all that, that they felt like this thing can be traced to some of those things you mentioned when you were bringing out those curses. So as a result of that, I felt like, you know what, I think I need to dig a little bit more, since we're digging deeper in redemption. Amen. That I need to dig a little bit more into the issue of the blessing, of blessings and curses, and especially with a focus on how to be free from the curse. Amen. How many of you are ready to walk with me with that? Are you ready? Now, as you all know, this world exists, just like we all exist, exists in three different dimensions. The first one is the spiritual dimension. Amen. Everybody say spiritual dimension. Just like you know, you are a spirit. And then there is the soulish dimension, which we also call the intellectual or the mental dimension. And then there is the physical dimension. Now, physicists study the physical dimensions. Doctors study the physical dimension. Psychologists and psychiatrists study the mental dimensions. But we study the spiritual dimension. Amen. So, pastors are engineers of the spirit. Amen. Pastors, prophets, apostles, and teachers. Amen. So, but it is clear that just like you can have inertia is a word in physics, a force that resists starting or resists stopping. In physics, there are also mental inertia and spiritual inertia. There are forces that resist movement in the spirit, either to start something or to end something that is going on. We have them in the mental realm too, just as we have them in the physical realm. Because the physical realm is just a child of the spiritual realm. The physical realm is just a child of the spiritual realm, because the spirit, God, created the physical realm. Remember John 4:24. God is spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality. Amen. And in truth. So a spirit God created this world. So spiritual laws govern the spiritual, the physical world. Amen. So now a lot of people wonder or ask the question, why does it seem that in my life there seems to be a cloud, some kind of a cloud that I cannot explain, that seems to be over me or things that I do? Some people feel like I can see this cloud not just in my own life, but I can also see it in some people that are related to me. It looks like there's a particular trend that has been occurring. I can see it because I see that my sister or my brother or an uncle or something, that thing is there. Amen. Some people just go through on a lot of struggles. Amen. In just constant struggles, trying to just find a way to move forward. You know, that was the experiencing that spiritual inertia we're talking about. Now, if you do not understand that there are spiritual forces and supernatural forces that are working in this world, then you will be at a disadvantage. So you need to understand that there are spiritual forces. There are supernatural forces at work, for good and for evil. A supernatural force at work for good is called the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. And the supernatural force for work for evil is called the curse. So I think we need to understand the nature of this thing so that we can be able to really walk in this redemption that we're talking about. So we're going to go into it and study deeper into it. But let's start from our text, because that's our focus. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, quickly. Everybody, let's read. 1, 2, go. Christ, you should know it by now. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made, or having been made a curse, depending on the translation you are using. Amen. Having become what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What? Through faith. So we see two things mentioned there. We see the blessing mentioned, and we see the curse mentioned. Christ took the curse on himself to take it off us, and then he redeemed us so that the blessing can be upon us. And so, like I told you, that is a description of a legal transaction that took place. It's a legal transaction. In other words, there was a covenant between God, the Father, and Christ. And anybody that comes into Christ right now enters into that covenant. But as you all know, legal things have to be enforced. Isn't that true? Is that not true? Legal things don't just take place. They have to be what? That's why you have law enforcement what? Officers. Everybody say law enforcement officers. If the fact that something is law means that it's going to happen automatically, we don't need police. Amen. We don't need lawyers. Do you get it? We don't need any of that anymore. But the reason is because even though something is legal, there are outlaws. There are outlaws that will want to violate the law, that will want to stand against it. They will want to just keep the status quo going. That's why you need law enforcement officers. That's why you need lawyers to plead cases. That's why you need social activists that will stand out and say, no, this is injustice. This ought not to continue. Amen. So one of the worst things you can do to yourself as a Christian, one of the worst things you can do to yourself as a Christian is to be a passive Christian. That's one of the worst things you can do to yourself, to be a passive Christian who thinks that things just will happen automatically. That's one of the worst things you can do to yourself as a Christian. To be passive. Not doing anything. Because if you are passive, there is an active force against you that will want to bring illegal things into your life and break in into your blessing. Amen. So if there's anything that this month will help every one of us do, it will just wake us up not to be passive. Knowing that these things, there's no reason why the Bible will tell us to fight the good fight of faith, or tell us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? So there's a reason why God is saying that. It's because you have to lay hold on what belongs to you. Redemptive things don't just happen to you automatically. You have to lay hold on it. Amen. Amen. You have to stand. And sometimes you have to stand, you know, and stay standing. Amen. Until it is released. Do you get it? So let's look at it, and then we will look at, you know, the nature of curses and blessings. Amen. Everybody say the nature of curses and blessings, and how to be free from it. Amen. I'm sure you understand that no matter how much you arrange the physical and arrange the mental, if you don't remove the spiritual inertia, you just keep arranging. Amen. You just keep arranging. Like a lot of people have done for a while, just keep arranging, and then just want the same thing just keeps getting you down. You have to deal with it. No matter how much you read, especially let's talk about finances. How much you read of Donald Trump, you read of this, and you read of that, and you read of that. You will create hope. False hope. I mean, great stuff. But the breaks just won't come. Amen. Do you get it? No, those I'm not putting those things down. It's necessary. I mean, this month, we're going to be learning about it. So I'm just trying to clear away the spiritual, what do you call it? Probably we're going to be learning about all the physical ones. The School of Money, the author is going to be here November 21 to November 23rd. So we're going to dig into it. Product services, all those things we talked about. But we want to make sure that, you know, the spiritual aspect is taken care of. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's look at it. The first thing I want you guys to know is that blessings and curses are simply utterances. Write it down. Blessings and curses are utterances, either written down or spoken. Blessings and curses are utterances that are either written down or spoken. The reason why you need to know the nature, because when you know the nature, you will now know how to revoke them. They are spoken words or written words. That's what blessings and curses are. They are either spoken or what? Or written. That's the first thing you need to know about the nature of blessings and the nature of curses. They are either spoken or what? Or written. They are sentences. I would say sentences. And I like to use this to illustrate it. How powerful a sentence can be. Somebody gets arrested for a crime, gets tried. The jury says that you are, you know, guilty. And then a man or a woman sits down, who is called the judge, and says, I'm about to read your sentence. And then the man or the woman, the judge, goes ahead and reads the sentence and say, today you are sentenced to life in prison. You get it? Or you are sentenced to what? 30 years in prison. Now, it was just a sentence read by a man. But 15 years after, do you get it? 15 years after, except there's parole or whatever. 15 years after, that person that was given a life imprisonment sentence will still be under that sentence. That written sentence. And everything, the entirety of his life, everything he does, is what? Is constrained within that sentence. Do you get it? Just some words written out by someone in authority. And everything the person does is constrained within that sentence. Now, this person can do so many things in there, do other, but as long as that sentence remains, the whole life of that person, or for as long as that sentence is supposed to be, is underneath that, is restrained and constrained by just some words spoken. That's one thing, one picture for you to understand the nature of a blessing or a curse. It is a sentence that is spoken at a time, but has constraining ability over time. Do you all get that? Everybody say it's a sentence spoken at a time, but has constraining abilities beyond what? Beyond that time. So the question everybody wants to ask in this place is this. What sentences am I under? But I'm here to announce to you that no matter what the sentence that has been spoken over you, there is a higher authority. Now, if the judge says that this man is supposed to serve life imprisonment and read the sentence. Now, if sometimes later the president or the governor, amen, of that entity reads another sentence and It is called a pardon. Everybody say a pardon. A pardon. A pardon. If the president comes and, you know, issues a pardon, which is also a legal document, and says, this person is pardoned. Even if the person was supposed to be on death row, or the person was supposed to be in life imprisonment, nobody can ask any question anymore. People can complain. Amen. They can complain and say, oh, that president is corrupt. How can he pardon a murderer? But they cannot argue against it, against the law, because the president has the ability to pardon anybody that he chooses to pardon. Do you get it? It's part of what is given to them. So another sentence, right? Read or spoken by another person in authority releases that individual, and the guy can actually walk out of prison, do this to all the people, you know, that have been, you know, oppressing him. Do you get that? Do whatever he wants to do, and nobody can do anything to him, because he's now operating under what? Another sentence. Do you all get it? So I just want you to understand. I want to keep this at the back of your mind, that no matter what we're going to be looking into right now, you need to understand that there is a sentence that was uttered over you by God. Amen. Amen. In the blessing of Abraham, that supersedes any sentence that has been what? That has been uttered over you. Do you get it? But the reason why we're going into the nitty-gritty of it is because sometimes when you if you understand the overall thing that Christ has redeemed you and you stand on it, there's no curse that has the right to stand. But sometimes, you understand, until people understand the reason why something is coming, two things. The real one, the specific one operating over them or their families, they will not have that thing. That, you know, when things become specific, you become more dynamic. Do you get it? When it becomes specific, you become what? Dynamic. If I say, okay, everybody right now, let's go out. Yeah, people say go out. But I say, okay, everybody, let's go out right now and to the Caribbean restaurant that is in Hyde Park over there behind the hotel, and I'm going to give everybody a meal. You know how, you know, there's more excitement. Because I became what? Specific. Do you get it? So when you become more specific, things become more dynamic. People become more motivated when it is specific. So when you understand, this is the particular one that I've actually been dealing with, I didn't know, then you get stirred up. And then you can apply the overall cure. Do you get it? To handle it. Praise God. The second reason I want you to get it, that Christ redeemed us legally from the curse. Right? But the curse is still out there. Do you get it? Someone say it's still out there. So there are still some things you can do, despite the fact that you've been redeemed from the curse. There are things you can do that can make you, in a sense, that can allow the devil to come into your life, right? And bring the curse. There's a way you can live your life in such a way that you are curse prone. One of them is what Brother Fred came to share the testimony about. There's no way anybody can walk in the blessing of Abraham if they do not fulfill the law that says, honor your father and your mother. There's no way. So if you dishonor your parents, you have things against them, and you know, they utter things, they don't even have to utter it physically, it's just in their minds. Amen. Then there's a cloud that is over you. And that might be the reason why. Because it says the blessing for that is that it will be well with you. Someone say well with you. There have been people that have been delivered from sicknesses just because they went and they apologized to their parents. Or just a call. There are people that have been delivered from just some things that continue. Accidents that just kept on happening. Amen. Just because they went and kept that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Brother Fred, you know, there are some things he probably did not mention. You know. But you know, I mean, how many accidents has your family had in a while? Two times. Amen. I mean, were you planning for it? You know, I mean, somebody, you've got to be sincere. Yeah. Get the car and then something will happen. And something will happen. But, you get what I'm saying? What a wise man does, you understand, is that you say, you know what, is there any area of my life where I have opened the door to the curse? And then you go and fix it. Amen. Do you get it? Just go ahead and fix it. And then you remove that, and you are blessed from it. Okay. Hallelujah. Is somebody following me? Okay, so let's look at it, the nature of the blessing and the nature of the curse. Let me first of all talk about... Okay, the second thing I didn't tell you. The first one, I say it's a sentence. Someone says it's a sentence. The second thing I need to tell you is that, you know, this one, when it comes to the curse and the blessing, there is no limitation to its timing. Did you get that? Everybody say no limitation to its timing. There's no limitation, either the blessing or the curse. There's no limitation to its timing. That's just the nature of it. Amen. Meaning that it can be inherited. Someone say inherited. It can be inherited. It can be inherited. That's one of the laws. So you begin to see it as we begin to look at scriptures. It can be inherited. Amen. That's why it is that nature of the blessing that it can be inherited, that allows us right now to be able to claim the blessing of Abraham over us. Do you get it? The fact that it can be inherited and it has no limitation, do you get it, of time? That's why we can claim the blessing of Abraham that was uttered thousands of years before we were born. Do you get it? But the interesting thing is that, you see, just the way the world works is that, you know, you have... What is, you know, you have a double-edged thing. You get what I'm saying? You know that when something is good, there's another side of it, right? There's a backhand. Almost a backhand. That's where the curse is also there, because the curse is just a counterforce, in a sense, the opposite of the blessing. In other words, when the blessing is withdrawn, what is left? Do you get it? When the light is taken out, what is left? The darkness. Do you get it? So in other words, anything that has a positive thing has a negative part, yin and yang. That's what they will call it. Amen. Male and female. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, it's one of those laws that when things are what? When something is positive, there's a positive thing, the real thing, there's always a negative part. And the negative part always takes the characteristics, the laws, the same laws that covers the positive, right? The negative one also operates by the same law. Do you get it? So that's why, because God wanted the blessing to be inheritable, that's why the curse is inheritable. You get it? God wanted the blessing to have long continuous. So that's why curses can have continuous. God wanted the blessing to be, you know, to be utterable. That's why curses are utterable. God wanted the blessing to control the life of everyone. Amen. That's why curses can control the lives of people too. Do you get it? It's just the negative of it. Glory to God. Are you guys following me? Okay, good. So you get that, those two things about the nature. There are sentences that are uttered. Number two, they are super. Those sentences carry supernatural power. And number three, they have no time limitation. In other words, they can be inherited and transferred from generation to one generation to the other. Those are the three or four basic laws of the blessing or the curse. So let's look at some of this in scripture. Amen. And then we will look at some of the curses. You know, how do blessings flow and how do the curse flow? And then we'll just tie it probably next week down on walking through from the curse and walking in the blessing. Praise God. Woo! Is somebody ready? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's start from the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, and verse 1. I want you to start looking. I want you to go with me to tell me. I want you to tell me the nature of the blessing here. Okay, you know, before I do Genesis 12, let's do Genesis 22. Because Genesis 12 begins to tell us, you know, reasons for the curse and reasons for the blessing. Genesis 22, just some scriptures on the nature of the blessing. Genesis 22, starting from verse 15. Are we ready? Genesis 22 and verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord, and listen, don't make the mistake to think that you're teaching this and being superstitious. That's one of the worst mistakes you can make. You understand? No matter how educated you are, I'm a very educated person. I'm sure many of you are very educated. Amen. But one of the mistakes that you can make is to say all these things are superstitious. Amen. So you better understand that there are spiritual things that you need to learn, no matter how intelligent you are mentally. Amen. Okay. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself have I sworn. Everybody say sentence. So there's a sentence that's about to win. By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. Everybody write it down. Say, blessings are as a result of obedience to God. And I want somebody to tell me what is the root of curses from that. You know, I mean, I want us to do some, you know, some deduction. Amen. Could you do it for me? I'm giving you the positive. You can give me the negative. Amen. What is the root and the source of blessings? Right? What then is the root of every curse? So write it down. So the root of every blessing is obedience. And the root of every curse is what? Is disobedience. Curses start because something from God has been disobeyed. Amen? Has been disobeyed by a human. You understand? It starts as a result of a disobedience by a human. That human can be somewhere past in the past. Amen? But it always starts what? As a result of this. And the blessing always starts because there was a human that chose to obey. Do you get it? Do you get it? Blessings begin because a human chose to obey God. And curses begin because a human chose to disobey God. Let's read on. Because you have done this thing. Go up. Okay, alright, good. So, and you have not withheld your son, your only son. So there was an instruction, specific instruction to Abraham that he obeyed. Amen, right? So it could be any other instruction. Blessing, I will what? Bless you. And what? As the stars of the heaven and the sun which is on the seashore. Everybody read it. And what? Shall possess the gates of their enemies. Your descendant. Let me say your descendants. So you see some things about the nature of the blessing here. First of all, the first thing we see in there is that it has a result of obedience. And secondly, it's a sentence that God utters. And number three, it's a sentence that affects the person that God utters it to. And affects what? The descendant of the person that God utters it to. So, one of the most privileged things you want to be on the earth is to be a descendant of Abraham. Did you get it? I'm going to begin that. In other words, that's if you any dream that you have, you understand, and what I will prove to you later is that you don't even have to dream it anymore. You are. I'm going to say I am. You get it? So it's just you want to be a descendant of Abraham because the man did some things that made God swear and God spoke some things that has no time limit over him. And that thing that he spoke also was spoken to anyone that it becomes a descendant of Abraham in any way. That thing that has no time limit will also work on you to become a sentence that begins to direct everything in your life. Did you get that? So, if I was not a descendant of Abraham right now, if I wasn't a descendant of Abraham, my greatest quest in life is that, how can I somehow become your descendant? You know, some people, their greatest quest is to be a U.S. citizen. No, I'm serious. You know, some of you don't know how precious it is because you had it given to you, you know, by birth. You know, but for some of us, we have to get it through another day. Amen. There are people who ride, they take, you know, they've done camel, donkeys, they go from Nigeria to another country, then they go through the, the Suez Canal around that area to get into Europe. They go through the Sahara Desert, many of them die, then they get into Europe, then they do some work in Europe, then they travel around, and then they go to Mexico, and then, you know, from Mexico, they come into the border, and then they come to Texas or any of that, and then they marry a U.S. citizen. I don't blame them. Amen. if you survive it, God bless you. Amen.
That's why if you survive to this place, I say, God bless you. Amen. You have gone through a lot already. Enjoy the blessing of Abraham or whatever. Now listen. So they did all that. And then, but the moment they swear them in, they can choose the president. Do you get it? In other words, they have the same right as any other person who was born here. Amen. So, just like people all over the world right now, even the same thing happens in Europe. Eastern Europe, even, I mean, I go to Ukraine, even people in Poland, they are dreaming of becoming U.S. citizens. They want to come here. Now, if people knew outside, if they knew that there is a covenant in existence and a blessing and a sentence in operation that says that you will succeed in all that you do and you will be protected from all the calamities of this world, if they knew that it existed for them, it would be one of the greatest dreams of people to become a descendant of Abraham. But people don't know, and that's why we have to tell them. Amen! Someone say we have to tell them. And that is what is called the gospel. Alright. Are you following me? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. You see God's plans. And the Lord God said to Abraham, get out from your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Who can tell me, why would God tell the man to get out? Why would tell him to get out? No, just take a crack at it. Just guess. Why would he tell him to get out? Why would someone say, get out of that place quickly? Thank you. In other words, there's some things operational here. Amen. Right? That will continue your life. But I need you to what? And if you see the story, you will see. Let me tell you some of this. Some of you don't know the story of Abraham. You don't know the family he came from. Is that? You know about Abraham, but you don't know about the daddy of Abraham. You want to learn about his dad? Huh? Who knows the name of his dad? Terah. Good. Let's see the story of Abraham, of the dad. Genesis 11, verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family line. Or the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, Nahor Aram. Aram begat Lot. Come on, read on, everybody. Let's read on. Now Sarah was childless. So you see some things already beginning to show. Amen. One of the curse is what? Childlessness. Do you get it? And Sarah was what? Barren. She had no child. And let's read on. You see, Sarah had a goal. Sarah took his son Abraham and his grandson Lot, the son of Aram, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from her of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, the guy had a goal of going to what? Canaan. But he got stuck in what? Are you following? He had a goal to what? Go to Canaan, but he got stuck in what? Haran. And he died there. Died there. So you see a father who had a goal that never got it accomplished. Did you get it? He was going somewhere, but along the way, he got there and what? Died there. And then he left his son and other, so he died there. And so in Haran, they began to, they were idol worshiper and all that. So when God wanted to speak to Abraham, first of all, he had to separate him from what? From that. Amen. Hallelujah. So what did God tell Abraham? In Genesis 12, verse 1. Leave. Someone say, leave. Leave your father's house. Leave. Sometimes, I was telling some people during this week that talked with me. I said, sometimes one of the first things you need to do, when you notice that there's something that is going on,
you know, there's a trend in your family, one of the first things you need to do is that you need to separate yourself.
Amen. Someone say separate myself.
Now, when I say separate, I'm not saying, you know, don't be part of your family. I'm just saying that you have to separate yourself from whatever the trend. Sometimes you have to separate physically. Sometimes you have to separate ideologically. Sometimes you have to separate spiritually.
Amen.
I mean, more all times you have to separate what? Spiritually. In other words, you need a new input.
Someone say new input. Someone say new input.
You cannot continue thinking the way they were thinking. You cannot continue doing what they were doing. You cannot continue living the way they were living. There has to be something new, something fresh, you understand, that you bring into it. Amen. Now there's a new revelation. There's a fresh revelation. You cannot continue. You notice that nobody gets married in your family, and then you are listening to all your brothers and your sisters for their marital counsel. What kind of nonsense is that? This is how you treat men. This is how you treat them. You go to them for the advice, and the advice, and they say, okay, yeah, that is a correct man. No, sorry, you don't listen. You go and listen to people who have good families. Amen. You know, you need some separation. Everybody in your family has been living in poverty for a long time. I'm talking about extreme poverty that you cannot explain. The extreme insufficiency. And you still go to them and they still tell you, or you are still following what they taught you. That's how you do money. You remember all the maxims and all the proverbs and all those things, and that's what you're still living by. No, you have to separate. Someone say separate. Get out! One of the things I learned was that, oh man, in other words, there has to be a totally new way of living. Someone say new way of living. To be able to create a new dynasty. You get it? A totally new way of living. In other words, somebody has to become sold out to God first. And that's when you start a new beginning. That's what God was demanding of Abraham. And look at what God promised him. Let's quickly go there, because our time is rolling. And I promise you, I'll not use too much time today. I remember my promise. Amen.
Everybody, let's go. Chapter 12, verse 1. One to go.
Your people and your father's house.
And go to where? What is the root of the blessing? What is the root of the blessing? What is the root of the blessing? If Abraham has not gone, will he be blessed? The root of the blessing is what?
Obedience. You're tracing it. Okay, good. What will now happen? Look at the promise. Next verse.
And I will make you into what? And I will what? And I will make what? Come on, read it with me. One, two, go. And you will be what?
A blessing.
I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will what?
And all the peoples. Everybody say peoples. Another word for the peoples is nations. Everybody say nations. All the nations of the earth will become blessed through you. Through you.
Man, this is loaded. This is what?
Loaded.
First thing we can see there. Go back. First thing we can see there. First thing you can see in that is that the blessing again. You see the nature of the blessing that is as a result of obedience. Now, the second thing that you can see in there is that when a person is blessed. When a person is blessed, there is an anointing upon that person. There is an empowerment. I don't want to use anointing because people will think preaching. There is what? An empowerment. A sentence upon that person that comes with an empowerment that makes the person an institution. Someone say institution. When he said, I will make a great nation out of you, he was talking about a literal nation, which you know as the nation of Israel right now. But for some of you, it's not going to be nations. It's going to be companies. Everybody say companies. Someone say amen. It's going to be families. Do you get it? It's going to be some families that some people are going to come out of your family that will influence nations. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of it's going to be ministries. Are you getting it? It's in other words, the blessing, when it works upon the person, produces what? Institutions. Are you getting it? The second thing you can see there is that when a person is walking under the blessing, there is something about the name of that person. Everybody say the name. The name of that person becomes famous and distinguished. Are you following? That's some of the result of the blessing. You have a fame. In other words, when they mention your name somewhere, people will bless themselves using that name. You know, people can say, I just want to be like that. So listen, I don't care what your name is right now. And I'm talking about your first and the last name. If you follow God in this blessing,
that name, that's your last name, can become a name around the world that people will associate with the blessing, and they will bless themselves with that name. I know that there's one day when that name is Jewelers. Amen. I will see some of you when I'm alive, but if Jesus dies, some of them will be after we're gone. But in this nation, and the nations of the earth, people will associate it with the blessing of Abraham, because they will see it all around upon every one of them. It's working in it. Why am I saying that? Because I'm making sure now. Someone say, we're making sure now. Because, you know, you are seeing the root of it is obedience. Someone say, obedience is the root of it. So it says what? Your name will be famous and distinguished. That's what the Amplified says. Now, what's the next thing that we see there, everyone? Please turn back to that verse. The result of the blessing. The other thing there is that the next thing is that when somebody is blessed, the person automatically becomes what? A blessing. You get it? When a person is blessed, the person becomes what? A blessing. Because the purpose of the blessing really is not so that an individual can hoard it. The purpose of the blessing is so that the individual can what? Impart it and transfer it. So listen, if you see the blessing on anybody, any kind of a blessing, if you see it on anybody, no matter how small it is, that blessing can be transferred to you. Did you get that? Any kind of place where you see the blessing, any kind of empowerment that you see that is from God, amen, that is working. And the same thing also works for the curse. Like I told you, it works positively and negatively. So the curse comes to stop a person from becoming the institution that he's supposed to be. Do you get it? To split things apart. The curse comes to make the name of a person detestable. And the curse comes, amen, so that the person can continue to perpetuate what? Perpetuate what? The curse. In other words, the curse is also transferable. That's why you got to watch who you call your best friend. That's why you want to call who you call your wife or you call your husband, because the blessing and the curse gets transferred by association. Amen. Someone say by association. It gets transferred by association. You got to watch who you work with, who you move with, because you are going to carry whatever aura, whatever blessing, whatever curse that is upon them. The Bible says that he that walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Paul said, evil communication corrupts good manners. Amen. The Bible says that the apostles, that just because they had been with Jesus, even though they were unintelligent, people saw the power and the wisdom because they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. The moon has no light of its own, but because of its positioning, it reflects the light of the sun. So there's something about the blessing that when you expose yourself to it, through people who have it, there's something about it that it gets on you, and before you know it, you are also walking in the blessing, because the purpose of the blessing is for it to be transferred to people around you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody say, I choose to walk in the blessing. I'm telling you the law of the blessing. That's why I would do anything to have access and relationship with people that I know are blessed. I would do anything. I'll pay anything just to have association with them, because I know that just my association with them will lift me one way or the other. And I would do anything to avoid people who are cursed, except they come for prayer. They don't say prayer. Receive, be released. But if I somebody walking in a way that is a curse, I stay away from it. No, I'm not going to carry it. Somebody say, I'm not going to carry it. Somebody say, the blessing is mine. Go back. So that's a verse. Now, the other thing you see there, apart from, is that when a person is blessed, listen, when a person is blessed, the same blessing has the responsibility of protecting the blessing. Did you get it? In other words, if the blessing is going to continue and be real, there must be a protection from the curse, right? Did you get it? So one of the characteristics of the blessing is that when somebody is walking in the blessing, there is a part of the blessing that ensures to make sure that the person is continually blessed. And that means that if there's anything that tries to curse that individual, amen, then that thing that tries to curse the individual will become a recipient of the backhand of the blessing.
Do you get it?
I'm not gonna get it. Do you all get it? In other words, when somebody is walking in the blessing, there's a protection in that thing. Someone say there's a protection in it. And the protection is that whoever curses a blessed person or entity automatically invites a curse upon themselves. Because the blessing must be protected. No, it's in the next verse. It's in the next verse. The next verse, verse 3. It said, and I will bless those who bless you. So in other words, when you bless an entity or, you know, a person that is blessed, you walk in the blessing. Do you get it? That's why, you know, some people think that the only thing you do when it comes to giving and serving and all that is that you serve the poor. The poor is so important. Someone say the poor is so important. It's part of it. But one of the aspects of walking the blessing is actually sowing it to those who are blessed. Did you get that? Abraham knew it. He said when he was coming from the salt slaughter near Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God came. And he said, Melchizedek, he gave a tenth of all to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him. He said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So one of the ways to walk continually in the blessing is that you don't just look for people who are in need. There's a blessing to minister to those who are in need. But there's a blessing in ministering to what? Blessed people and blessed curses. That is one of the reasons for the tithe. When you are giving to God in the tithe, you are not giving to a poor person. Amen. You are what? Invoking this thing. You are invoking this thing. God, the Bible says, blessed is be the God. Amen. The Bible says, bless the Lord. In other words, you can bless him. You can bless his cause. You can bless what belongs to him. And when you bless somebody who is blessed, what happens to you? You are doubly blessed. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If, for example, right now I meet Bill Gates on the way and he happened to have no money. He had no money. For some reason, he didn't bring his bank, whatever. And I meet him in the city of Chicago. And he needs a bus ride. Amen. And then I get into the bus and I looked at him. Whether I know him or I don't know him. And I choose to pay his bus ride. You know, my life has changed. Amen. I mean, that's the end. Amen. I mean, I'm done. Amen. I'm just joking. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, because I chose to bless what? A blessed person. Now, why? Because now when we talk about blessing God and walking with God and doing all that, God has only one limitation. Everybody say one limitation. And that one limitation he chose to impose upon himself. I'm not talking about lying and all that. That limitation is that he is spirit. But for him to show his love on the earth, he needs bodies. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? In his bodies, in his people that can give him physical expression. That is it. That is like Bill Gates having no money. Amen. But if you give him expression through your body and you live your life for him, that same God who holds everything, the possessor of heaven and earth, will release things upon you and upon your generation that you cannot imagine. That is what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all these people discovered. That was it. Oh man. He that lendeth to the poor, giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will repay him. Please protect that scripture. You see, when I discovered that, I knew that there's nothing I do for the poor. There's nothing I do for the poor, whether poor children or whatever, that will not be repaid me. Amen. Now, some of the repayment is not going to come in my lifetime. Some of the repayment is going to come what? Generations after me. But God is going to repay. Some in heaven. But he said he will repay. Ever say he will repay? If God says I will repay, then you know you are settled. His payment does not come every 2 weeks or every 1 week. Amen. But it's going to come. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. He will reward him for what he has done. Please give me another translation. I like repay better. Reward is, you know, it's great, but give me KJV. He that has pity to the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will repay to him. He will what? Repay to him. Repay to him. Repay to him.
And if God repays you, he doesn't repay you the same amount you gave. He will repay to you. If you help somebody go to school, he will repay to you. If you help somebody get a house, he will. If you help somebody with a car, he will. If you help people who are poor to get food, he will. If you create an environment for poor, for the poor to rise, he will. Repay. There is a repayment penalty. Amen. Someone say repayment. Now, positive one right now. Not a repayment penalty of mortgages. There's a what? A repayment penalty is a blessing. Amen. That you release into your life. In other words, you just need to walk over on because the repayment is going to come. And there are many other things like that that involves repayment in the Bible. You go study them for yourself. Amen. Are you guys getting into it? We're going to continue next week. We're going to dig deeper into it, into the nature of the blessing and the curse. And then I will show you the specific ways that curses, you know, let me show you where we're going to start from next week. Proverbs 26, quickly. Proverbs 26 is where we start from next week. Who's coming up next, Olu? Who's coming up after me? Oh?
Pastor Omo.
Okay, so get ready to come. Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. This is where we're going to begin from next week. Verse 1. It said, like snow in summer. There was a snow in summer. Isn't that strange? Snow in summer. Is there? In some places. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's unusual, right? Do you get it? I'll tell you what it means. And rain in harvest. Harvest is, you know, it's like the fall. You understand? When they're reaping harvest. It's not supposed to be raining time. Do you get it? So honor is not fitting for a fool. So in other words, there's something that I'm unfitting. I mean, if you see snow in the summer, it's strange. Amen? You know, but now the next one. Like a fleeting sparrow. Someone say fleeting sparrow. Like a flying swallow. So a curse without a curse. A curse without what? A curse. Curse. Shall what? Shall not like. Give me another translation. The more recent one. Let's, you know, of that verse 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Do you get it? It does not come to rest. Any other one? Undeserved curse will not land on his inheritance. On his what? Then a victim. Do you have message? Let's see. If he doesn't mess it up. You have to be careful of message, you know, sometimes. You have little to fear from an undeserved curse as from the death of a wren or the swoop. You get the idea. The idea is that without a reason, I would say without a reason, I would say without a reason, the curse cannot land on an intended victim. There must always be a reason why it is oppression. So this law of the curse and the blessing, this also applies to the blessing. Blessing always comes for a reason. I told you the reason is obedience. So this law means that you can disable curses. Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? You can what? And enable what? Blessings by finding what? The reason. You get it? By finding the reason, eliminating the reason, you disable it. Amen? And then you impose a new reason. Do you get it? And so you enable the blessing. So we're talking about blessing and curses engineering next week. Rise up on your feet.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.